Hi, and welcome to the Dinner Agenda. This is Beau.
And this is CeeLo.
Hello, CeeLo. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Good.
What's new and exciting?
I hate renovations. Oh, I hate renovations. I really, really, really detest renovations, but I like the after effect of them, but it's quite stressful doing them. So I'm just pointing that fact out.
What's the stressful part? The picking, the spending?
Yeah. And the deciding of what to do, right? Like, so right now we're in this phase of we have to replace the floors on the main level, right? And so we know we're going to replace them with wood, but do we carry that wood floor into the kitchen or do we retile the kitchen? I know that there's a lot of controversy out there about don't put wood in the kitchen. And then others are like, you can totally put wood in the kitchen, right? So it's, I like that whole look of having the floor be the same, you know, having the same flooring throughout on the main floor. I like that look. And I also really, really, really like the look of wood in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But I get so many different opinions and, you know,
I think the wood these days and how they're coated and all, like, I think it's fine unless you're like bathing your dog in there, you know what I mean, and getting lots of water on the floor all the time. I think it should be fine. My dad had wood in the kitchen at one point and it survived.
Did he?
Yeah, and that was a long time ago, like before the even the quality is it where it's at today.
Okay, so maybe I just won't. So I don't know, I've got to think about what we want to do, and I'm still stuck on the do I do the dark floor that I'm in love with, or do I just do a plain, you know, mid-range brown? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I keep getting drawn towards these more rustic type looking floors, but everybody's warning me against that. So, I don't know. At some point, I'll make a decision.
Yeah, you're just going to have to make the call. I do tend to go towards that more comfy, rustic.
Me too.
You know?
Warm.
Yeah,
it's warm. Really warm. Yeah, me too. Anyways,
it's exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, thinking about it all being done is really exciting. Having to make all these decisions is not that exciting, you know? So yeah, but it's okay. Question for you.
Yes.
I'm looking for a new podcast. I'm just finishing one of my other ones. Do you have any faves that you can mention to me?
I have to say, ever since we decided that we were going to do this pod, I basically don't even listen to the radio in the car anymore.
Oh, really?
I only listen to podcasts now. And I have enough, I feel like I have enough variety on there now that it's like, depending on my mood or how far I'm driving, I've got options. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for like funny, looking for like chat, like journaly chat, like what we do, or true crime?
Yeah, probably journaly chat. I think because like you, I pretty much only listen to podcasts in the car as well. Or if I'm out for a walk, that's what I put on. And I kind of enjoy that, you know, informative kind of thing. I mean, I can go through the ones that I've got on my, but I also like on my list and I can tell you, but I also have some, like there's this one in particular, CeeLo. It's called Something Was Wrong. Oh my God. Did I tell you about this in the past?
Yes, you told me about this one.
Okay. So it's a fantastic podcast, but it's disturbing at times, right? Like, I mean, obviously some stories are way better than other ones, but for the most part, it's like you're just engrossed in, because they what this podcast does is the host of the podcast brings on people who have very intense stories to share. About their experiences, about being duped or, you know, you basically being in contact with someone where they started to realize, wait a second, something was wrong here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And some of the episodes, I was just like, oh my God, I was listening to it. I got home. I came in the house, put the podcast back on because I just had to finish the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I like those ones too.
And that one, the format of that one is that you would listen to like episode one, then you got to do two, and then it's almost like a page turner, right? Yeah.
So that one is really good. And so I like that kind of stuff. I like the talking, like the Jan Arden one that you keep mentioning before.
Yeah, I do.
I like that.
Yeah.
The daily is also good because depending on what the topic is, right? Because they hit current events. You know what I'm really enjoying right now is Chasing Life with Sanjay Gupta.
Oh.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN. Yeah.
I saw that one advertised and I thought, oh, I'll have to check it out, but I don't have it on my list right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty good. I mean, he talks a lot about, especially in this most recent season of his podcast, mm-hmm. He's talking a lot about the weight, right? The weight issues and stuff, because Ozempic's like such a huge topic these days. Yeah. So he's got a lot of good informative information on there. So I do like him. There's my 100% favorite CeeLo, Dr. Ramani. So she is a psychologist who is, she specializes in narcissism. She is flipping fantastic. If you, like, even my therapist recommend her too, you know, because if you ever want to learn about narcissism, narcissistic dynamics, how it impacts you, just general, even education on, you know, how to deal with somebody who's been living with narcissistic, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's full of information and she's just so fantastic. I love her so much. This one.
I do listen to the Mel Robbins podcast and it's kind of got that therapy-ish, you know, make
really?
Best out of your life kind of slant to it. They have talked about narcissism mm-hmm. on that one as well, but it really okay. covers any topic to kind of help you lead a better, happier life. I could be in the mood for it, to be honest, but you know, but that's a good one. It certainly makes you think a little bit. I feel like I tend to lean towards, because I've kind of got that shorter commute, some of the shorter, funnier ones that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of my faves are Adulting with Michelle Buteau and Carlos.
Okay.
Michelle
Buteau All right.
has that show on Netflix called Survival of the Thickest. She's a comedian. She's
I've never heard of this.
She's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And the show's called Adulting, and they have different guests on. They chat about whatever, but then they have different guests on. And the question that always comes up as part of the show is like, what's the most adulting thing that you have on your list of things to do or want to do? So that's kind of fun to hear different people talk about that.
Yeah.
Handsome is another pod by three queer comedians.
Oh, okay.
And they talk about anything under the sun. It's very random, but it's always funny. It has me laughing all the time. And they have different guests on, like pre-recorded, asking them questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, one of the questions might be like, do you think your best friend would help you bury a body in the backyard? Right. And then like all three of them take their turns at answering them.
Okay. We need to be on their show.
Especially for that question. Awesome. You would help me bury a body in the backyard, wouldn't you?
I would help you. Okay, thank you. I would help you.
And another funny one I listened to is called I've Had It.
Yes. I listened to that one too. That's pretty funny too.
Yeah, that gives me a laugh sometimes. Yeah. That was a good one.
When they do the negative affirmations. That's a really good one too.
Yeah.
Do you, there's one, called Maintenance Phase that I really like as well. I think it's Aubrey Gordon. Her and her podcast partner, and his name is escaping me right now. But they do a lot of really interesting debates about stuff. Like they debunk a lot of stuff. So it's really, really interesting. Like, they have things like COVID conspiracies, JFK Jr., you know, like the anti-vax movement stuff. They talk about, diet myths, all of this stuff. Actually, one of the most interesting ones, like, there was this big thing on Netflix called Forks Over Knives at one point,
I remember watching that.
Do you remember that? It's like a whole, like it's promoting vegetarianism and all that other stuff. Well, they kind of go into how that entire documentary was created and who created it and how it was paid for and all this other stuff. And it's quite interesting. So that's another really fantastic podcast as well.
feel like that's a total teaser. Now I'm going to have to go and listen to it.
Yeah. And they're great. And you know what? They're actually really funny too. Those two together are actually really funny. Okay. And sometimes they remind me of us in terms of how they get along. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. Okay.
Yeah. Tell and me. Then another one I just wanted to mention quickly is called Messy. And that's with Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's on my list. I haven't started it yet. Yeah. Is that good?
It's good. I'm
looking out of this now.
I heard about it because I listen regularly to the Armchair Expert.
Oh, yeah. Shepherd, me too. Right?
And he had Christina Applegate on, and she was talking about her MS diagnosis and just everything that she's kind of been through as part of that, and mentioned that she's starting this podcast. I'm like, oh, interesting. I'll check it out. So I've listened to the first couple and I think it's interesting so far. There's a lot of focus obviously on their diagnosis of MS, but it's not just about that. So I think Christina Applegate is pretty funny. So, and she has, you know, just a different view on things, the two of them together. So
yeah, that's cool. Okay, good. I want to check that one out for sure too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Agenda today, CeeLo, is?
I thought I was watching Netflix.
Yeah.
I was watching Netflix and I watched that Badge Surgeon documentary. Oh,
yes.
Did you watch that?
Okay. Yes, I did. That first doctor.
Right.
With the windpipe replacement.
Yes, that's the guy.
Oh my God. God. Okay. Yes. If anybody has not seen that documentary on Netflix, you have to watch it. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. It's a bit of a holy crap situation. Yeah. And it kind of made me think about like, how does somebody get away with that? And then I thought like, bring it down to like your life, my life, our regular people lives, even though we're basically famous podcasters now, our regular people lives and our experience with doctors. So I thought we could chat a little bit about that.
I've got some stories. I definitely have some stories for you for sure.
Well, that's what kind of made me think of it. I know you've got, I know you've got some good stories about that. So yeah, that's what I figured we put that on the agenda for today, you know?
Okay. So that's a good topic actually. So let me ask you, your experiences with doctors so far, right? Yeah. I mean, and mine as well. We've had some really good ones for sure. And the odd thing about this is you and I have typically shared doctors for the longest time. For some reason, it's like, you know, you're seeing the same doctor that I see. And when the original one, you remember Dr. Bratch?
Yeah.
Yeah. When she left, we ended up going in to see our current one now. And so we've got the same doctor. So it's funny because we can compare stories about them, but there's been some, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but do you have, and I'm not saying with our current family doctors, but when they go and refer you someplace else, like for example, I had, I was having a lot of knee pain.
Yeah.
You know, if I'd say maybe 5 years back, and I got referred to, oh my gosh, the name is going to escape me. The specialist, rheumatologist. So see, it's when you get old, this is a prime example of forgetting words. Yeah. Okay. So I got referred to a rheumatologist and the doctor that I went to go see basically said, oh yeah, it's osteoarthritis of the knees, lose weight.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, thanks. Really appreciate that. But I'm in pain now. So is there anything we can do now? Well, really, you just need to lose weight. And that was it. And then I was just dismissed. And I was like, you little fucker. So that was when, if you remember, I started using a bit of a cane because there were times where it was so painful.
Yeah.
You know, that my balance was a little unstable. Then I went to I changed doctors back to the one that we are at now, the one that we both have now. Yeah. She recommended me or referred me to a different rheumatologist. And this rheumatologist was awesome. She was awesome. She basically was like, yeah, you've got osteoarthritis of the knees. It's common. It's very common. Sure. Weight doesn't help the pain of it, but that's not the sole cause of it. Mostly genetics play a big role. Yeah. And she said, Anyone starting in their 40s all the way up has some form of arthritis somewhere that they just don't know about. It's super, super common. So anyways, we talked a lot about what options were. She ended up suggesting, and she has done injections on me. It's Duralane and Synvisc is another brand as well, but it's like a gel injection that she puts in through in between your knee, your bones within your knee or whatever. Mm. And it tends to cushion the knee, because obviously the cartilage is wearing away, and it eases the pain and it prolongs the need for a knee replacement.
Interesting. How frequently?
Yeah. And then
do you have to go for, like, it doesn't last forever?
It doesn't, but you know what, for me, there are times where I've had to go every 6 months, and recently, it's been a year.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Like, yeah, like a whole year. And you don't need steroids, you know, because steroids, they say, can actually deteriorate the cartilage as well. So anyways, the point being here is the fact that, you know, that you can see the difference in quality of the doctoring right there, right? Which is, you know, one was like just looking at me and just dismissing me and saying, yeah, just lose weight. Whereas the other one was like,
let's treat
yeah, you're big, but let's deal with the issue at hand. Let's alleviate the pain, and then you work on whatever else you need to work on. You know, so 100%. I just,
and then taking that approach allows you to, you know, stay a little bit active, as opposed to I'm in so much pain, I can barely move. Yeah. I'm using a cane. Like, having some kind of treatment plan that allows you to continue to stay active. I feel like that's like being diagnosed as fat. I'm like, wow, well, thank you so much for that intel. I had no idea. You know, I was just walking through Pennington's with no idea that I was fat. So I've had that happen a few times. I've had knee pain. I had this thing on my foot that was bugging me. I had plantar fat. And it was always like, you need to lose weight. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I've been trying to do that since grade 5 and it's not working. And my foot is still hurting. My knee is still hurting. Like, we need to find another solution or something that's going to help me. And that infuriates me.
Yeah, me too. That. Yeah, me too. Because you know what? It's lazy in my opinion, it's lazy doctoring.
Yeah, total.
Right?
Total.
Yeah. It's they don't want to take the time that it's going to take to actually figure out what's wrong. They'd rather focus on someone who they perceive as healthy because they're more worthy of being helped. That's how I look at it. Yeah. Right.
I think it's hard though for some people to push and advocate for themselves, like whether it's something like this or even something else. Yes. Like, I had blood work done recently and the doctor's office called me like 3 days later and said, hey, we have your results, come on in, we'll have a chat. I'm like, okay, cool. But then I had blood work and another test done recently and it's been like 2 weeks and no phone call. So I'm like, I had to follow up and say, hey, I need an appointment to come in and talk about the results of that. And it makes me crazy because I feel like how many people are slipping under, you know, slipping under the lack of care, lack of focus, because they're not standing up, making that phone call or advocating for themselves, or being diagnosed as being fat and not advocating for themselves and saying, hey, like, I know my friend has this gel shit injected in her knee and now she's feeling better. Yeah. Can't I do the same? What are my options? Yeah. Like, just, it gets me all worked up, Bo.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I would be too. Because it's not right. It's not right that you should have to do that, you know? And I think it's more common for people to not feel comfortable advocating for themselves, you know, with their doctors because of just how we were all brought up a lot of the times, which is, you know, you respect these people in certain positions, like doctors and teachers and, you know, like police officers, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, you were taught from a young age. So when the doctor is just kind of dismissing you, you kind of feel a little helpless, you know?
And you don't ask questions and you don't probe and you don't. Anyways, this is our shout out to everyone out there to say, hey, make sure you advocate for yourself, ask those questions and make sure you're getting a good, fair treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the last episode, when we were talking about the sleep issues, insomnia, I had mentioned about the episode that I had had with the insomnia, because, based off the, or caused by that CPAP machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And how I had gone to my then family doctor to ask for, can I have a sleeping pill or something to help me sleep? Right. And she had said no. That same doctor. So I had ended my relationship with that doctor after that. Right. Yeah. And I went back to the one that you and I have now. But prior to that, I had actually said to her, this was, gosh, 7 years ago, I had said to her, I would like to quit smoking, right? Yeah. I would like to quit smoking, but I'm not sure I can just do it cold turkey. You know, what are my options, right? What options do I have? Do you know what she actually said to me?
What?
She said, before you focus on quitting smoking, I'd much rather you lose weight, because you're going to probably die from your weight before you die from smoking.
Wow.
And I just looked at her and I said, so I have nothing wrong with me right now. My blood pressure is great. My cholesterol is great. My sugars are great. I'm walking every day, right? Because my knees are better, you know, all this other stuff. But you're telling me that I shouldn't bother trying to quit smoking, that I should just lose weight? Really? So anyways, I ended up just fucking quitting smoking without her help. Thank you very much.
Yeah, girl, you go, girl.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, it just goes to show you how that prejudice of fat people is out there so much, even in the medical community. And it really shouldn't. It really shouldn't, because they are the one place that people can go for assistance.
Yeah, they need to go to, for sure. And I'm sure that there's different prejudices out there. Like, I'd be curious to hear what other people's experiences have been with their own doctors or their own, you know, prejudices that they've experienced in terms of, is it fat related? Is it race related? Is it like, what are the other things that are out there where they're not, they don't feel like they're getting the right treatment and they've really had to stand up and advocate for themselves?
That's right. That's right. I'm sure there's a ton of horror stories.
Yeah.
But talking about bad surgeons.
Yes.
Shall we talk about my experience?
Oh my God. Totally. We need to talk about that. Oh my God. 100%.
This is, yeah. Okay. So, first though, before we get there, do you have any bad doctor stories? Cause I don't think you really do. Like, you have some, but not like,
no, nothing that compares to what you're about to talk about, for sure.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's get to it then. So, I had gone, so in my quest to try to lose weight my entire fucking life, right? I know that we have tried every diet out there. We will do an episode on all of that stuff. I know that we have that on our agenda list. But, you know, one of the things that I did try was the lap band. So I had a lap band put in. And at the time, it was done by a well-known clinic in Toronto,
yep,
who has now is no longer there. They've shut down, partly because of what we're about to talk about. But so I had gone to this particular clinic and I had paid for out of pocket, because it's not covered by any medical plans, this lap band procedure.
Okay.
And when I first got it done, it was great. It was great.
Okay, I mean, you need to pause because I'm going to interject with my premium interview questions.
So sure.
How long ago was this approximately?
Oh gosh. I think 2008 is when I had it.
Okay. And then my second question is, the lap band is basically like a band that they put across part of your stomach to essentially make your stomach feel smaller and you feel full, right?
Yes. Yes.
And they inject that band with like some saline as it, right? Or something along those lines?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So what they actually do is, you're right, they actually, they do the surgery laparoscopically. They put a band around your stomach that kind of makes a bit of a pouch on the top portion of the band, above the band. And basically it makes your stomach smaller so that when you are eating food, the receptors in that part of the pouchy stomach, the one above the lap, the blown up donut, if you will, around your stomach, those receptors in that part of the stomach make you feel full. Right. Like that's where those receptors are that say, hey, to your brain, I'm full. So it makes you eat less, but also there's not enough room to eat a lot, right? Yeah. Because it's a little pouch with a small little opening hole to drop down into the rest of your stomach for digestion. And so you really can't pack it because it'll just come right back up. So it really does force you to eat smaller portions. You know, when we get into the diet episode, yeah, I'll talk a lot about, you know, side effects of having that, you know, that yeah, kind of yeah, stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But that's essentially what this lap band does. Oh. And then there's a little port that they put into your stomach area, your abdomen area. This little port is where they will insert a needle once a month, once every 3 months, whatever it is, to tighten the grip of that band around your stomach.
I feel it with and, fluid. It that's
what yeah, it's like a saline solution. Yeah.
Like on paper, you're like, okay, well, that seems, especially if your problem is eating like too much, right? Like multiple, what's it called? Serving size. If that's where you're
and binge eating, your and binge eating as well.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, binge eating. Yeah. On paper, it logically kind of makes sense. But then when you think about what you're doing to your stomach, I'm like, mm-hmm, I don't know about that. Anyway, so, okay, go on, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I hear you. You know, there's a lot of us who have done a lot of things in the quest for finding relief from being overweight, you know? Yes, so, 100%. And I literally probably have tried absolutely everything out there. So, I go and I get this lap band done. Great. No problem.
Paying out of pocket.
Paid out of pocket. And the whole thing of this particular clinic was, as with other clinics as well that are around the country, they basically say, you know, they do this procedure and then you have follow-up care with them, right? Like it's a surgical medical facility. And you meet with your surgeon and you you know, have follow-ups with the nurses and the doctors. And, you know, you're supposed to be monitored just like any other person would after having a procedure done.
For all right? your physical things post-surgery. At yeah. any point, is there any kind of therapy or psychologist that you can talk to about your issues with food? Yeah. Or okay.
So they do provide not necessarily a psychologist or a therapist, but they do provide dietitians. They actually have support groups that you can physically go to or virtually go to, where they talk a lot about these kinds of issues and what to experience and how to get around certain things and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, they offered that support okay. for sure. Okay. So I go and I get the surgery. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be great. You know, all the prep, you know, appointments that I've had sound like this is a great clinic and that this is going to be successful, et cetera. So it's surgery day now and I go in and I have my surgery and my parents are going to be picking me up from the clinic to take me home okay. after the surgery. So I have the surgery done. I'm waking up from the anesthetic and I feel and hear somebody saying, Bo, it's time to get up. You have to wake up. We need the bed. You have to get up. And so I'm not quite conscious because my eyes aren't open, but I hear this, but I'm not really registering what's happening. And I think I fall back asleep again. Okay. And then at some point I'm woken up again and I'm actually being pulled up into a sitting position. That's how I wake up. Okay. And there's two nurses, one on either side of me, and they're actually pulling me out of the bed. And they say, Bo, I'm sorry, but you've got to get up. We need the bed. We've got other patients coming from surgery. We need the bed.
And feels like a so friggin' I was money-making situation.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So I don't know who or what doctor or nurse for that matter would ever rush somebody who is still woozy under anesthetic
yeah.
out of recovery. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I just, at this point I knew something was wrong, but I was really sedated. I couldn't really comprehend or move or speak very much. So they actually, and I'm not exaggerating, the two nurses literally dragged me. So they got me dressed. They dragged me, one under each, one was had it was underneath each of my arms, shoulders or whatever. And they actually dragged me. I was like literally like hardly even walking, like just being dragged outside of the clinic to my parents' car.
What, they didn't have like a fucking wheelchair or something to put you in?
Nope. Nope. And at this point, I hear my father yelling at them saying, "What have you done to my daughter? What kind of butchers are you that this is what you're doing? She can't even stand on her own and you're throwing her into our car?"
That.
And they just said, "I'm sorry, we need the bed." And they gave me over to my dad and they left. And my dad put me in the backseat of the car and I fell back asleep again. And they brought me home. And they were obviously very concerned, as I was. And I fell asleep as soon as I got home again. And then when I finally woke up, and at this point I was much more coherent, they were both like, "Okay, this was the scariest thing I think they've ever witnessed or seen." And they basically said, "We didn't know if we should take you to a different hospital,
yeah,
or if we should take you home because, you know, we didn't know what to do. You were just not conscious, you know?" So obviously we knew at that point, okay, something was very shady and very off.
Okay. So at what, before you went to this place specifically, yeah, like, mm-hmm, how did you just like Google search them?
So there were advertisements about them all over TV, all over the media. They were very well known. They were well known in terms of the number of clients. There weren't that many places that were offering lap band surgery. So for example, if you want bariatric surgery in Ontario, it is the gastric bypass that they do, which is covered under our OHIP, you know, our government medical plan, right? So that is the surgery that they offer. They do not offer lap band. So if you don't want to go to the drastic gastric bypass, because when you have gastric bypass, they completely redo your stomach.
Yeah,
It's done permanently. It feels
like that's more permanent.
It's drastic. Bigger surgery, it is permanent.
All that stuff, right? So this is a possible temporary, easier solution.
Yeah. And it's promoted as it's reversible. You can get rid of it at any point in time. It's really just or you can keep it forever. But it's really just a tool to help you lose weight, but it's not a permanent thing. Okay.
And was there anyone that they like that you could meet with that also had the surgery and stuff? Okay. And they were just these happy, skinny people saying, "This is the best thing I've ever done in my life."
Absolutely. It was a big rah-rah. Come join our
paid actors. I'm telling you.
Well, a lot of them I found out after the fact were actual patients who then became employed by this clinic. So when they were presenting themselves as patients, they weren't technically lying, but they were actual employees of this clinic at this point, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So a bit of a conflict there, but they had all of this. And then if you went onto their website, they gave you access to a support group where you could talk to other patients, and everything was fantastic. So you look at all of that and you're like, well, I'm making the right decision on the right clinic, right? Then you experience the surgery and what happened, and all of a sudden these red flags are popping in and you're like, what the fuck? Okay. This does not jive. This doesn't mesh with what I had experienced prior to the surgery.
What I was sold.
Exactly. Yeah. Then it goes downhill from there, right? So you have a question?
Well, no, I just feel like the hindsight 2020, like, you know, when you're in a situation and then you're out of the situation and you look back and you think, yep, I should have spied that. Oh, I should have figured that part out. Or I should have done a little bit more homework on something. You know what I mean? Like, do you have that sense at all? Or do you still feel no?
No, I'll tell you why, CeeLo. It was so well organized.
Yeah.
It's like you go in there for the consultation and you meet with a salesperson. So sure, they're going to give you a little bit of a sales spiel, right? Yeah. But after that, they're basically like, you know, you don't have to make your decision now. You know, here's a limited, thing to our support group. Go in there, check out, talk to whoever, get their take on stuff. You're welcome to come to a few of our in-person support groups and hear what everybody else is saying. And, you know, like this kind of stuff. So they made it seem very kind of above board, right? So it, and you know, they did have a lot of clients. This particular surgeon was well known in the community. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say absolutely fucking yes.
Okay. So actually,
they're selling you something that those okay. like, not that you should have, or anyone would have seen that going into it, but hindsight yeah. now where you're like, oh, the clients I spoke to were actually employees. The chat room support group thing that I went into were actually like, it was one person manning the, this is so awesome. Everyone has to, because they're fucking selling you something. That was their okay. whole goal. I'm not saying you should have known it or anyone would know it going in, but I'm saying after what you went through, are those okay. little yeah. bells going yeah. off where you're like, oh, now I see what they were fucking up to.
Okay. So, okay. Let me rephrase or let me take back what I said and let me in the beginning. Okay. So here's what I will say about the hindsight is 2020 thing. Okay. When I look back and I say to myself, I went into that clinic, not jumping the gun to say, I'm going to sign up right on the dotted line after the first sales thing. I felt like I was doing my homework. I felt like I was investigating. I felt like I was taking time to think about this and whether or not I wanted to move forward, et cetera. What I didn't know, and here's where the hindsight thing comes in. What I didn't know was that you can review your doctor online. I didn't have a lot of experience and exposure to this kind of thing. It was like my first surgery, right? So, I just didn't realize. And had I looked at reviews of the surgeon, that may have changed everything for me.
Right.
Because when you go to look online for this particular surgeon, the horror stories that you see documented there are astounding. And yeah, so that would be my hindsight is 2020. I know
one more like due diligence thing that you exactly. that you would do, but didn't, you know, exactly. you wouldn't necessarily think you had to do that at the beginning.
Exactly.
It's total 2020. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
Okay. So this is the coming out of the surgery, getting back home and then recovering. Okay. Yeah. Now I do recover. I never see the surgeon again. I'm supposed to be having follow-up visits with this particular surgeon, especially for the first year after the surgery. Right. I'm not seeing him at all. But what I am seeing are the nurses, right? So the nurses are like, oh, yeah, you don't need to see him. Everything's fine. You know, we're checking you out. We know what to look for, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Okay, fine. So now 4 years goes by, okay? So the lap band was successful for me. It was really great. It did a good job. It really did. There were some side effects to it that we'll get into when we actually go do our episode about diets. Yeah. I'll talk a lot about what the pros and cons are of that type of surgery. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was actually working well for me until the time came where I was actually having pain in my stomach. So I started having this bad pain in my stomach, and it would only happen every time I was eating. So if I was eating something, I was having pain. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And initially I thought maybe it was an ulcer or it was something else. But after the 2 weeks, I thought, okay, maybe it's something more because it's like really, really sore yeah. and Tums isn't helping and, you know, like nothing. So I actually made an appointment with the surgeon.
Right.
And I go and I see the surgeon and I said to him, I'm having this pain in my stomach. And he says, well, what do you want me to do about it? Wow. And I said, yeah. I said, I think it's the lap band. He goes, well, how do you know that? And I said, well, I don't, but the fact that I've got it in there and that I'm having pain, I thought it might've been an ulcer. I've been trying Tums yeah. and you know, like
I don't know what it is, but hey, I'm not the fucking doctor here. You are. And that's why I'm here. You dumbass.
I know. So he says, well, until you can prove, like he literally says to me, until you can prove that it's the lap band, I can't help you. You need to go speak to your primary healthcare physician. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I go and I meet with my family doctor. She says to me, this is very bizarre because he is your surgeon. You are his patient and he should see you, right? Yeah. He should be asking you or sending you for tests. So anyways, she tells me to go back to him. I go back to him telling him what my family doctor said.
Yeah.
So he basically in a big huff, he's like, fine, I'll send you for a CAT scan. It was a CAT scan. Yeah. That's what it was. And an ultrasound or whatever. Anyways. So he sends the requisition, the results come back and he said, there's nothing wrong with the lap band. Everything is fine. So at this point I'm still in pain. Yeah. Right. And he says, I can't help you. There's nothing wrong. I don't see anything wrong here. Mm-hmm. So I go back to my family doctor. Now she is referring me to as many of her contacts as she has that could potentially help test and or diagnose what I may have.
Right.
So she was trying really, really hard. So I have to give her kudos for that. She knew I was in a lot of pain. I was losing massive amounts of weight because the only thing that I could consume were those protein shakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And only a little bit of them at a time because it was just really hurting every time I would put something into my stomach. So she's sending me everywhere under the sun. And what I'm hitting up against is the fact that when you have something done by a specific doctor, no other doctor wants to touch you. They don't want to become responsible.
Totally.
Yeah. So when she was referring me to these contacts of hers, they were like, oh, you're a patient of Dr. blah, blah's. You're going to have to go back and see Dr. blah, blah. Right. So, you know, yeah. And so I was literally just running around in circles and I was literally deteriorating more and more as each week went on.
Yeah.
Right. Like it was just not, it was not working. And at one point my family doctor said, okay, look at, he is a practicing doctor at this particular, like the surgeon who did the surgery is a practicing doctor, at this particular hospital, go and check yourself into Emerge there and see if maybe you can force him to deal with you there. So I did that. So I checked myself into the ER and I said, I'm having pain in my stomach. Sure enough, they call him. He comes down, he comes and checks me out. And what he says to me is, oh, it's muscle spasms. He said, like 4 years after I have this lap band, he said, some people's abdominal muscles react to the surgery and it takes it some time, before they stop convulsing. And that's what this is.
But this is fucking new. This isn't post-surgery. This is 4 years.
I know. And I said that to him and he said, no, I'm confident that this is what it is. And he discharged me. I'm like, okay. So now I'm still in pain. Yeah. And at this point now, I call the clinic and I spoke to the nurse who answered the hotline and I was very upset and I was crying. And I said, I am having a problem with this lap band. I know it's the lap band.
Yeah.
And here's what I've been through. And I'm crying as I'm telling her. And I said, no one is helping me. And I feel like I'm dying. Like no one is helping me.
Yeah.
And so she said, give me a minute. And she put me on hold. And then she came back and she said, come in today, come into the clinic today. So I said, okay, great. So I go into the clinic and the surgeon is there.
Dr. Blah, blah,
right?
That's not his official name, by the way.
That is not his real name. No. He is there and a head nurse is there. And so I explain the issue again. Yeah. And he says to me, okay, have you eaten today? And I said, I had a protein shake in the morning, like one of those, you know, from the drugstore.
Blech.
And he said, well, that's technically considered food. So I can't remove the band at the clinic for you today. But what I can do is I can remove the port because on one of the imaging tests that I had done where he had said there's no issue with the lap band, it showed that the port had twisted and it was hitting against my stomach.
Oh.
And he said, it could be that causing the pain. And I'm sitting here thinking, you piece of fucking
shit. Why didn't he do that from
shit.
The very beginning then?
Right? Because he would have to action something, I suppose. And he just didn't want to.
Oh, no. So I bet you I know. Because it would fuck up his success rate, that there was an issue.
You are probably right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You are 100% probably right. And in fact, CeeLo, as they were talking to me, he says, okay, we'll bring you into surgery now and remove this port and see if that helps the pain. The nurse had this file folder with one piece of paper in it. And she said, I need to take your medical history down. What are you allergic to? What are you? And I said, why would you need, you have all of that information.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a client here for 4 years. You have all of this information. We can't find your file. It's gone missing.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I am not fucking kidding you. It's gone missing. And right then and there, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that they had fucked something up.
Yeah.
And this was, they were literally just deleting me, right? Like what was happening. So he brings me in and he removes the port because I'm desperate. I need some type of pain relief. So he goes and he removes the port. I wake up. He's like, okay, you're fine. You can go home. And I go home. Okay. The pain has not stopped.
Yeah.
So it has not eased. And at this point, I just don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. So I book an appointment for a fill under that pretense of having a fill with one of the head nurses from that clinic. Okay. And I get into the location where they're going to do the fill. And I just burst into tears and I start telling the head nurse what's happened, what I've been through, what's been going on. And I said, I need help and I don't know where to go. And no one is helping me. My family doctor's trying, but she's limited. You know, she doesn't have the knowledge of this stuff. So she said to me, this unfortunately is not uncommon for this particular doctor. It's not. So she said, let me go in and see if I can remove any more saline from this band to see if that helps. Because apparently he had removed it all when he removed my port, but I was still in pain. So she said, let me go in and see if there's any more. So she put the needle in. And sure enough, there was still some saline left in there. So he had not removed all of the saline. So there was still restriction. And she looked at the solution that had been pulled out of the port, out of the band, I should say. And she said, oh my goodness, it's cloudy and it should never be cloudy. That tells me that at some point in time, there was infection. At some point in time, something went wrong. She's like, you definitely need to have this band looked at. And I'm like, well, that's what I've been trying to do. Yeah. So she said to me, this particular doctor was the head, like the chief surgeon of this clinic. Mm-hmm. And under him, there were other surgeons that also performed these operations. Yeah. And each of these surgeons also practice at various hospitals within the province.
Okay.
So she said to me, what I would like you to do, and she wrote this new surgeon's name down. She said, I want you to go to this specific hospital. I want you to say this to the ER people when you get checked in. And I want you to give them this note about who to contact, which was this new doctor. And so I said, thank you so much. And she was just like, good luck. She says, I'm so sorry, you know? And so off I go.
What, like, hello, what would we would be lost without our nurses in Ontario. I'm telling you, they are the real heroes of our fucking healthcare system.
They really are. They really are. And you know what? A lot of the times I think they're way better than the doctors that we have.
Oh, 100%. Especially specialists of any kind of sort, right? Like, come on.
Yep.
Thank God for nurses. Shout out to all the nurses.
Exactly. Okay. Obviously so I
go to emerge of the hospital. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I check myself into this new hospital, this different hospital, and I give the letter, the note or whatever. Anyways, so they call that surgeon down and he comes and he sees me and he's like, okay, he was actually really lovely. He said, okay, let's get you looked after. We're going to check you in. I'm going to send you for an MRI. I'm going to take a look at, you know, everything, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so he does that. He says, you know, he comes back and he's looking at the test. He goes, I see a bit of a shadow, but I don't know exactly what this shadow means. Okay. So he said, we can attempt to try to remove this band.
Right.
Right. He says, and there's this new technology that they're testing right now, where they can go in through your mouth and they cut the band from the inside of your stomach, and then they pull it out through your mouth. So they don't actually have to make any kind of incision on your abdomen. So he's like, it's like, you know, the best thing that we could possibly do. And I was like, okay, great, great. Let's do that. He says, but if I can't successfully remove it this way, that means I will have to go in
and do it
to your abdomen. I can attempt to do it laparoscopically, but there is a chance that I might have to make a full
incision
cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he went through the pros and cons of all of it. He went through the risks and he said, you know, if I have to make a full cut, you know, you could be in the hospital for quite some time, you know, it could be weeks. Like, we don't know how severe it's going to be, but you know, you have to tell me what you want. And I said to him, listen,
get the fucking band. I said,
yes, because I've been in so much pain now. I can tell that I'm malnourished. You know what I mean? I said, get this out of me. I don't care what you have to do. I want it out. Yeah. And he said, okay, no problem. So he wheels me in for surgery. I come out of surgery and I have my family around my bed as I come to from the anesthetic. Yeah. And I just hear my husband say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, honey. And I said, what? What? He goes, they didn't remove the band. I said, what? Why? He goes, I don't know. I don't know. So they had not removed the band. Okay. Now, later that afternoon, the surgeon comes to see me. And he is actually with two interns. And he says to me, how are you feeling? And I said, listen.
I'm pissed.
I'm very angry. I said, I signed everything. All of the documentation that said I understood the risks. Here is what I said that I wanted. I wanted it out. Why was this band not removed? And he said to me, well, Dr. Blah Blah came and saw me during the surgery. So he's not a practicing surgeon or a practicing doctor at that hospital, but he came there, the original surgeon who did my surgery. Obviously, this surgeon called him. Yep. He came to that hospital.
Which kind of makes sense, right? Like, hey, I have one of your patients here.
He's not a practicing doctor, so he should not have come into that hospital, nor should he have walked into the surgical unit where they were performing the surgery on me while I was under anesthetic, right? So he comes in there. He says to the guy, the doctor who's attempting to remove it, they talk, and he says to the guy, don't remove it because we can't test out this new material. And so what actually happened was, I find this out after the fact, the band had eroded through my stomach. Okay. So they weren't able to use this new technology to remove it through my mouth. But what I found out afterwards, and I found this out because I had made a formal complaint to the Ontario Physicians and Surgeons, and they looked into it. And what I actually found out was the band had eroded through my stomach. This new tool that they wanted to use had not been approved to be used in Canada yet, but they needed a certain amount of test subjects who were performed this surgery with this new technology or this new tool. Until that happened, they would not be able to pass the formal use of it in Canada. So they needed test subjects, essentially.
Okay, but then that should have been, first of all,
disclosed?
Yeah, to you at the beginning to say, hey, do you want to test out this new fucking whatever material? Secondly, I'm thinking again about the fact that this will fuck up his success rates if it comes out.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And you're 100% right. And that is also what's at play here too. Yeah. It's the smoke and mirrors of what this particular clinic had been doing, right? So anyways, I find out that they need these test subjects. This fucking asshole surgeon, the original one, he basically said, you know, don't take it out. I had signed the papers to have everything removed. They just didn't do it. They just wheeled me back in. And I found out about that surgeon because my mom ran into him as they were waiting in the waiting room for
Dr. Blah Blah?
And she, And she said, what are you doing here? And he actually said, the other surgeon called me and I went in to see your daughter in the surgical unit. So he admitted it. Okay. So at this point, I was devastated. I was very angry at the surgeon as he's here with his two interns, yeah. you know, that are job shadowing him. And I said to him, here's what I don't understand. I signed everything. I authorized yeah. this man to get out. I said, you called somebody who is not authorized to practice here and you had them come in and make a decision. I'm your patient. I am your patient in this hospital. Yeah. You should never have done that. And now I'm sitting here in the same fucking place that I was at. You know, I have no help. I said, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Like, what is, how can you possibly be practicing medicine? And you can see the two interns, their faces are pale. They don't know what to do or what to say. They can see clearly something's wrong yeah. and nothing, you know, something's not quite right with what this doctor has done. Anyways, the doctor is just like, okay, well, I have to go to see other patients. He literally just, you know, scurries out, right? So at this point, I honestly, they're all fucking cowards. Now at this point, I call another weight loss clinic. Okay. And I speak to the head surgeon at that weight loss clinic. And I said to this head surgeon, I said, I don't care what it costs, like what you charge me. Okay. I don't care. I said, please help me. Please, please help yeah. me. So he said, listen, you are not the first person who's reached out to this, to my clinic from that clinic. You are not the first one. I have been hearing horror stories ever since this clinic opened their doors.
Oh, fuck.
And he said 80% of the patients that have the surgery done by the clinic you went to end up over here, right? Because of the lack of care yeah. and the issues. Anyways, so long story short, he sent me into the hospital near him that he practices at. He did the tests. He saw that it was eroded. He went in. He removed it for me. I was in the hospital for a week and I fully recovered. And it was fantastic. That surgeon saved my fucking life. But what he did say to me was the lap band that was put into my stomach was not the Bausch & Lomb lap band that I had purchased. It was some other lap band made from some kind of metal from China.
What
that was being tested. Again, that was being tested. So that was put in me without my knowledge. And that's part of the reason why it eroded through my stomach.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this Dr. Blah Blah is not working anywhere anymore.
So, well, let me tell you what actually happened. So I did make, as I mentioned, a formal complaint, yeah. right, to the Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. And I detailed everything out, like in great detail, pages and pages of what I had encountered with this doctor, what I had been through, you know, yada, yada. And I had actually said to them, you know, I need you to know what's gone on because I cannot be the only one.
Yeah. And nor do you want others to have to go through what you've been through.
That's right. What I actually said in my formal statement was that if action is not taken against the surgeon, someone will die at his yeah. hands. Garen fucking teed, because I could see what happened with me. If I had gone sepsis? If yeah. I had gotten sepsis from this at any point in time, I would have been gone. That would have been it, right? Yeah. And with the band, you know, having eroded through your stomach, that is one of the highest probabilities of what's going to happen, right? Yeah. So anyways, I say this, he ended up getting a temporary suspension, a fine, and he had to take some courses and then he was allowed to practice again, oh, right? Fuck. But yes, but hold on. So at that time, I had also contacted one of our well-known newspapers. It was the Globe and Mail. And I met with a reporter and I explained my situation because they had done, this particular reporter had done an expose of this clinic years prior and I had no idea. So he was very interested in what had actually happened. So I did an interview with him and I did it anonymously and he, you know, put this newspaper article out. And just as this article came out, yeah. a patient of this surgeon's died.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. He died. And so as a result of that, you had this article that comes out. There's a shining light on this particular surgeon in this particular clinic. The fact that all my medical records had mysteriously disappeared, right? That there was not even a record of me of being a patient
there, of getting the surgery or what they ended up putting in you.
No. All access that I had had to the support groups online, everything was mysteriously removed. I was mysteriously gone, right? Come to find out afterwards that if you make any kind of negative statement on any of these forums that they give you access to, they remove your access. So that's why there was only positive reviews or people speaking positive things about it.
Again, it goes back to the fact that they're selling something basically, right? Like they're not held to any other standard. It's like, I'm sure people are thinking now of all the different kind of elective surgeries that you pay for. I'm thinking, like, I don't know, Botox, like what's it called? To make you look younger, all of those types of
Botox or filler or something
where it's like you pay for it and you're like, have I done enough due diligence? Have I asked all the right questions? Have I talked to someone who I know is a patient? Like, you have to be an advocate for yourself. And I'm so glad that you just kept pushing and just kept asking questions and just kept following up with the doctor and finding ways to get in and get yourself seen and have them listen to you.
Yeah. It was really, really hard. It was I'm not going to lie. I mean, that was so fucking hard and there's no excuse for it, right? There's really just no excuse for what happened and what was allowed to happen. I literally felt like I was in a third world country, living, that I couldn't get any kind of healthcare or anything. Like I had my arm chopped off and I was in the middle of a jungle and that's what I felt like. And I had to help myself. That is what I felt like. It was disgusting and it was horrible. So, and now a patient has actually died.
Somebody dies
at his hands. And I'll tell you something, CeeLo, his license was not revoked. So he did have to go to court about this particular patient, right? Uh-huh. And that was all in the news as well. But the only thing, so he is still a medical doctor. He is just not allowed to, he's lost his privileges at the hospital that he was working at. So he's not allowed to, operate out of that hospital. He can still be part of a clinic, but he just can't run a clinic. So I'm sure he's still out there doing something.
Oh my God, 100%. How many clinics do you know that have the ability to do surgeries in them? Like, there's nothing stopping him from continuing to do this.
No.
It's fucking frightening.
But at least it's very, very fucking frightening. At least there is a lot of media exposure about this particular doctor now. Like, you can see it in news articles, in reviews and all that other stuff. Yeah. But the thing is, it's inexcusable what happens. And the other thing that was quite shocking to me, honestly, CeeLo, how naive I had been up until this point about our healthcare system. I always thought, Canada's got a great health system. First of all, there's the, free healthcare to a certain point, right? Yeah. Like, seeing a doctor is free. For sure. Having tests done is free. Yeah. Surgery, depending if it's not, cosmetic or something like that is free.
Cosmetic. What is not covered? That's the word I was looking for.
Cosmetic. Yeah. If it's, your prescriptions are not covered, you have to have a health plan for that, but everything else.
Yeah.
And I just thought, being in Canada, we have such a superior healthcare system.
Yeah.
This is not what actually happens. Well, you know what? It is what happens. It's here too. Yeah. It's here too. And some of these doctors are people that have their own agendas that are not here for helping. They are here for lining their pockets. And if this one doctor did it, I'm sure that there's a few others too, right? 100%. That are, it's disgusting. I'm so disgusted by this whole event.
So it all started 4 years after you had the lap band. And from the time you first started having pain to when it was finally removed, how much time had passed?
I think it was 4 months.
Of living in that kind of pain.
Yeah. Four or five months, something like that. Yeah. It was brutal. It was brutal.
What people will do for money, right? Like, it's all greed.
100% it's all greed. And the fact that in Canada people can get away with this, that we don't have better watchful eyes. How could this surgeon not have lost his license?
Well, and what about the people, the other doctors working with him or the nurse? Like, obviously the nurse that you were lucky enough to talk to knew that shit was going sideways, right? Like,
yes. And so she knew, like, what was happening.
Thank goodness there's people out there that are still, you know, being careful.
Well, this clinic is no more, by the way. So, well, they did shut the doors pretty quick on this one, and it is pretty frightening. But apparently this particular clinic was owned by some hockey players or people who own some hockey team in the NHL.
Well,
and so it was all a big money.
What the fuck that's all about.
Yeah.
Who own a hockey team, I could believe, but hockey players? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. It adds, I'll have to look it up again. I had all of that information.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not owned by, this was not a clinic that was owned by doctors. It was a clinic owned by business people.
Yeah.
So they were in the, right. And they just, I suppose they found surgeons that were just as business minded.
It's like all the things that you said, it still goes back to my 2020 question, right? As you start to learn like what this is all about, who's doing it, who these doctors are, what the clinic is open for. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you shared that story, and I'm extra glad that you were a great advocate for yourself. I hate the fact that it took 4 months for you to get, to be pain-free, but it's just so important for people to have healthcare professionals that they can count on and that they can talk to. And if you ever feel like you're not getting, the right level of support, or I was going to say service, but not really service, but you know what I mean, right? Like that you have to keep pushing. Yeah. You have to keep pushing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I should contact Netflix and tell them that they need to do an episode on bad surgeons on this dude.
Oh yeah. Like a documentary stuff. You know what? Yeah. We could go from this awesomely famous podcast into documentary filmmaking. I mean, it's we could do that. Right?
With our skills and talent, great.
I'll just do I'll film it on my iPhone. It'll be like those commercials shot on iPhone. Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah.
Like the Blair Witch Project or one of those movies. The series was it's going to happen. But wishful thinking there.
Yeah, Siva. Wishful thinking. Well, got to have a backup career. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Nice chatting, honey.
Yeah, it was good to
Thanks
chat.
For listening.
All right.
Yeah. Until next time.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for taking a seat at the table today. We love our dinner guests.
Don't forget to subscribe and follow The Dinner Agenda on the podcast platform you use so that you don't miss any new episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Dinner Agenda.
We look forward to hearing your comments, questions, and even ideas you may have on future episodes.
Thanks for taking this journey with us.